Okay, to start. The first of the nine levels is called Tsentopa. Sen means mind. Tsentopa means to apply the mind, to start the mind off. So Tsentopa means your first childlike attempts to put your mind on a particular object. And that's the first level. It's characterized by nepa. Nepa means the mind does reach the object. Okay? The mind, you do choose an object. Today, for example, we're going to choose as an object our teacher. Whoever is your heart teacher, it could be Gandhi, it could be someone who's not alive anymore. It could be someone you haven't met yet and you just fantasize about. Or if you're fortunate, then you already have a heart teacher and you will be meditating on heart teacher, and particularly their eyes. Okay, so Tsentopa, how do you know that you've reached level number one, is if in the next 10 minutes, that teacher comes to your mind once. Okay? Usually it's at the beginning. It's the first 20 seconds or so of the meditation. And you bring up your teacher, and then you think about the emails you didn't get to before you came. And then 10 minutes later, the teacher says, okay, let's stop there. And then sometimes you're lucky that your teacher's eye pops up. You see your teacher again for 20 seconds, and then that's it. So Tsentopa means the mind is on the object, but just briefly at the beginning, maybe, and then maybe a few times in between, and then some at the end. So we can say that the nepa, or the staying on the object, is only momentary. My teacher, Ken Rinpoche, he used to like to compare it to a fly on a piece of poop. He was pretty graphic, okay? So he would say, I'll tell you the whole story. There were two flies in Pasa City, and they landed on a cowboy. And so they're having a discussion. Since it was near the Potala, and they were in the site of where the Dalai Lama lived, they were having a philosophical discussion about nirvana and paradise. And then they got to a point about that discussion, and one fly said to another, do you think there's cow parts in paradise? And the other one said, I don't think so. And then the other one said, well, why do you think you want to go there? Anyway, the moral being that we live in a pile of poop. Okay, and we like it. So, why did I bring that up? Oh, because flies. They just land for a second, and then they decide they want to go to another part of the poop, and then they keep going like that. Okay, so, you can think of level one as the fly on the poop level. Alright, where your mind is just jumping around and it comes back briefly. The nepa, the staying, is infinitely shorter than the yamwa, which means the time off the object. So, that's the Tsentopa. The goal, by the way, and what I want you to think about the whole 10 days, the real sort of goal that I'd like you to think about the whole 10 days is interesting. Meditation, I think, can be more concisely or clearly described as keeping your mind on one thing, just one thing. So I would even change the word in Tibetan is tingazin, or in Sanskrit ekagra, which means one thing. You know, just keep your mind on one thing. So the struggle, what I'd like it to think of the word meditation as ekagra. Maybe we should call it ekagra. It'll be, can you just have one thing that you're thinking about and nothing else during the meditation? Can you just have your teacher's image there and there's nothing else? And there's nothing else in the world. Which technically means that you would die sitting there if you were good at it, because you would forget to come out. You see? You would forget to drink or eat or, you know, anything. You would just sit there. If your concentration is really good, you probably have to have someone to... Jasakapa went into someone. Somebody had to come back to the temple. It's like he was in a meeting like this, and then everybody went and had lunch, you know. And then in the evening they came back and he was still there. And they had to wake him up because he forgot to go to lunch. You know, because he was just thinking about one thing. So I guess technically, if you're good at it, you wouldn't remember to stop meditating. Or even the alarm, if the alarm went off, you wouldn't hear it, right? And it gets to that point. Okay? So you'd have to have when you go swimming in the ocean, you're supposed to have a buddy. Maybe if you were a really good meditator, you'd have to have a buddy to wake you, to shake you up, you know, to knock you out of the meditation. So it should be like that. I want you to start thinking of meditation as your mind tied to a single thing. I visualize it as the way they picture those atoms. They, what do you call those? Those toys that have connecting things between them? What do they call it? John, when we were young.
Ticker toys.
Yeah. So there were little disc-like things with holes on the side, and then you had a
stick.
We're going to have trouble translating this into Chinese language. you had a little stick between, and then that happens. Anyway, there's your mind is one of the Tinker Toy discs. And then the object, which is going to be your teacher's face or her eyes, is going to be another Tinker Toy piece. And then you're going to be linked to them. And there's no other links to anything. There's no other object. It's just that one. So just think that there's no other connection to any other object. There's a single mind, and there's a single object, and there's one Tinker Toy stick between them. And there's no side sticks going off to your emails or what you left, you know, the thing you didn't get done before you came, or lunch, or how cold it is, or anything. Just try to picture your mind as a single unit. The object is a single unit, and they are tied together, and that's it. Okay? So that's meditation. Is that virtuous? Is Carl said, see, Carl said no, and he's right. Okay? It's karmically neutral. All right? It's an instrument. Like, it's a microscope. Virtuous. You see, it's just a tool. It's just an instrument. We went to a city in China where there had been some atrocities during World War II, and they used microscopes on living humans that they cut open to observe living blood, you know, and then they blew them up with grenades to develop new treatments for soldiers, right? So that would be a non-virtuous use of a microscope. That would be an evil use of a microscope. And then, you know, microscopes are used to save lives every day. So meditation is similar. It's karmically neutral. It's just a tool. It's just an instrument. Okay? So then, that's very important to understand. Okay? It's just an instrument. You can turn meditation upon anger, thinking about your last ex-boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and you can concentrate. And they can be, you can be obsessed on them and think about how bad they are. You know? And that's a non-virtuous use of the microscope. Because it's just an instrument, right? And try to keep it unlocking. So I'm going to just talk for 5-10 minutes at a time, and then we'll do a 10-minute meditation, and then we'll flip-flop like that. It's called Ren Jopa. So get ready for meditation. And like Lama Christy, when she does a Bob Jupiter class, she always gives people this guilt trip that the person next to you is on the verge of seeing emptiness, and you sniffle, and then they spend 24,000 more lives in samsara, suffering. Okay, so I wouldn't say that to you. There's nothing wrong with not looking out loud. Okay, let me show you the problems. Okay, once it starts, just let it go. You can see it through your mouth when that happens.
There's no fault.
All right, our only goal for the first session is to go, we're going to go through the preliminaries, the traditional preliminaries. Pablo Carimpeche, in a different part of the text, which you'll be studying maybe in a year, he goes through the preliminaries very carefully. But right now, we'll just go through them together. And then we'll stop. And then we'll talk some more about the levels. So here we go. Sounds straight. Watch the breath in your coming in and out of your nose. Place your mind like a sentry at the tip of the nostrils. Just watch the breath passing in and out. Mind on a single object, the breath. Mind tied to a single object, the breath. Ask your teacher to come to this place, sit with you. They are sitting in front of you, knees to knees. You can feel the warmth of their body. You can feel their breath in your face. You can smell the fragrance of their skin. Make your teacher an offering. Flowers are nice. The sky is nice. And you smell this great landscape. And then sprinkle it with some good things you've done in the last 24 hours. Think of something you've done in the last 24 hours that you're not so good about. Maybe you got a little anxious coming to the retreat, and maybe in my case you said something a little harsh to someone when you were tired. Equal time and effort, thinking about something sweet in the last 24 hours. So, be kind. That's how you teach your body. Think of something you saw someone else do that was inspiring and virtuous, something you would like to emulate. In the last 24 hours, I think there were a lot of people working to prepare this place for us. A lot of our own staff spent months getting everything ready for us. That's an inspiring thing to emulate. Let us make a picture in your mind of who you'd like to be by the end of this 10-day series. What would you like to change about yourself? If you could make it happen simply by wishing, who would you like to be at the end of these 10 days? What change should be wrought in you? Can you picture yourself as you would like yourself to be in 10 days? ask your teacher, your heart teacher, whoever it is, ask them to help you become that thing in these 10 days. We will each need our heart lungs blessing in the next 10 days to make the changes in our practice that we'd like to see. And ask your teacher to stay with you. We can't go anywhere. We can't succeed at anything without a teacher, without our teacher. Ask them, even if they are a historical person or someone who's around you now, ask them in their spirit, even if it's someone you hope to meet in your future, ask them to come be with you, stay with you for the rest of your life. Okay, then slowly open your eyes. The second level of meditation is called Yuga-Jopa. Yuga means continuity or stream. There's a variation of the word called yu, which can mean tantra, for example, meaning the stream of the secret teachings. Or the stream, mind stream in Tibetan is called yun also. So yun means any kind of stream of continuity. In Chinese is jin, I think. It's a stream of anything. So jin to jopa. Jopa again means the opposition of the mind to its object. So jin to jopa means your mind is on your object. And instead of being the fly on the cowhide, there is some continuity. It stays on the object for more than a second. Okay? So you do have some flow on the object. So Yuga-Jopa, the second level, is where you're able to keep your mind on the object for short periods of time. Importantly, in the first and second levels, the period of time on the object is much deeper than the period of time off the object, okay? So, you know, if you're keeping score, you want to know where you are. At level 2 and level 1, the nipa, the time on the object, is defined as briefer than the yepa. Okay? So if you kept score of seconds or minutes on the object, the time off the object would be more than the time on the object in the first two levels. Okay? I would say most of us are at level 2. I believe that. I am, actually, sometimes. So, more time off the object than on, but there is some continuity. Like you have 5 seconds, 5 uninterrupted seconds on your teacher's face before you think of the noise of the heater or someone bangs a cup. We have to negotiate with these guys, right? About meditation time. Later. Maybe afterwards. I think we have to be diplomatic, and we have to mostly just let people know what your times are. That, you know, and not to just run in there and say, shut up, okay? And that's the same with your family, okay? You can take this as a a metaphor for your life. You know, you're going to have to negotiate with the people around you about, like the people smashing the cups in here. You're going to have to negotiate with the people in your life. And it's, what's the easiest way is to, people can handle that you're not going to be around. They know it is predictable. Mm-hmm. So you have to make your meditation times predictable to your family members or your friends, and they have to understand, and it has to be negotiated kindly and fairly. You know, you have responsibilities to them, and you have to go in and, you know, reasonably you have to say, and then if it's predictable, it's more likely to be successful. The negotiation. So from, you know, we're going to be meditating from 9:30 to 10:30. But from 10:30 you can smash all the cups you want because we're going to be yoga. You know, like that. So then you kind of give and take. And that's just a metaphor for your meditation practice for the rest of your life. Make it, things can be negotiated with your family and friends if it's predictable and if it's clear ahead of time. Not doing. So the first two levels, Samdhopa, say Samdhopa.
Samdhopa.
Gyudhiji. So, fly on the kalpai. And then, Samkhamnuni. Gyudhiji means Samkhamnuni. Sam is a Mahinga. Who knows Mahinga? A negative statement that implies a positive statement. Some continuity means not much. Okay, all right. Now, the goal of this week, as far as your meditation, is that you learn the 9 levels and the 6 powers and the 4 states of mind. Okay? So there'll be 9 levels, 6 powers, 4 states of mind. By the way, next meditation session, you know to bring some notebooks. So I'll go over it again. You're going to bring your poster and you're going to bring your notebook. Because everything I'm talking about is on the poster, but sometimes not so obviously. So there are going to be 9 levels of meditation. There are going to be 6 powers or strengths with which you achieve those levels. And then there will be 4 states of mind through which your mind passes as you move up to the 9 levels. Okay? So the first level, Samjopa, is achieved Tepe Dok, Shu Tepe Dok, say Tepe?
Tepe?
Tepe Dok. So, Tepa is a Shruti in Sanskrit. It means listening. What it means is listening to the words of a human teacher. Okay? So, like, you can learn Chinese on, you can buy Rosetta Stone and have the tape yell at you. But it's so much different than sitting in the back of a car in Shanghai and having someone, right? And having someone yell at you 5 times, you know, how to say it and correcting you. Right? That, the correction part is really important. You say, Jiga Shishima, and then they say, Gishla's not she, it's a she. And you have a human being sitting there and correcting you, you know. So, Tepa, Shruti, means listening to the words of a human being directly. And, you know, if you can't get to Prescott, if you don't have chains on your jetliner, you know, we're offering the streaming teachings and we're offering the tapes and you can download, but it's not going to be the same, okay? Human being, Shruti means hearing at the feet of a human being. So the first level of meditation, which is really sort of, you could say, it's the decision to meditate, right? It's the decision to sit down and place your mind on the object for the first time. that decision is precipitated by some teacher who convinces you that this is going to be useful for you, right? No human being will do anything at all unless they think they'll get something helpful or beneficial for themselves. This is how we are. So it's the teacher's job to inspire you to to think about what's going to happen to you if you learn to meditate. Okay? And that's Chogyakarta. So I'm going to do a little Chogyakarta, okay? There are, in Vinaya, especially in the monks' teachings, or the monks' vows, there are four traditional forms of sustenance. It's very famous. It's called Seishi, Seishi, Seishi,
Seishi,
Seishi, both Lotan and Seishi.
Seishi.
Sei means, literally it means food, but here it means sustenance. Okay? Shi means form. Sei in Chinese, sorry. Four types of, like, Shichang. Four types of sustenance. Okay? The first one is called Kanti Sei. Say Kanti Sei.
Kanti Sei.
Do you know Kanti? Have you ever heard of Kham? Anybody know what Kham is? Kham.
It's an area.
Huh? Yeah, she said it's an area. There's a province of Tibet called Kham. The word means province. Why they would name a province province, I don't know. Okay? Like, that's like naming Arizona state. Okay? But Kham means a state. But it can also mean what?
Which means
yeah, it can mean your propensities. Like your hidden propensities for your life. You know, like some people discover at a certain age that they were meant to be an upright bass player. You see, their whole life, their cards are there. Yeah? And then you suddenly touch the thing and you're like, ah, like you get somebody's dad's miraculous instrument, you put your hand on it. You're like, oh, then the calm, you see your calm. So calm in that sense means a little parcel in your heart of what you were meant to do, what you were meant to be. It's called karma. It's also called karma. Okay? What's another meaning of karma? Chu Dhatu.
A discrete piece of something.
Yeah, that's the last one. So what's Chu Dhatu? Yeah, the two realms. The form realm, form realm. Sorry, desire, form and form realm. We live in the desire realm, it's all you've ever seen. There are two other realms that are happening parallel universes, that are happening parallel to this world, and you can't see them in meditation. That's also called kam, like an area of the universe, three provinces of the universe. In Abhidharma, there's the 18 kams, which is your six senses, six objects of the senses, and the six consciousnesses. Those are also called dhatu. The most famous one is dharma dhatu, which is the object of the mental sense. And then that became the name of a dharma organization. Right? So that's that dhatu. Kam in that sense means a discrete bit of something, which means it's defined as something you can bite off. Like a banana is kam kise, as you can bite off a piece of swallow. Okay? So kam kise is the first kind of sustenance. Physical sustenance. Everybody needs it. Okay? Everybody needs kakase. So the second kind of sustenance, say, is rewa. Say rewa.
Rewa.
I have to roll the bottom of the cane. I can't, so I just make it roll. Rewa. So rewa means, I'm sorry. Did I say rewa?
Yeah.
Skip that. Let's do the different number two. That's number three. Number two is ni. Say ni kise. Ni means sleep. Okay. Probably REM sleep or something. Okay. Like I need a block of 5 hours and I can't function. You know? I don't know what it is for you. I need 7 to 8 to be polite. That's how ni is. So it's a kind of sustenance. Everybody needs sleep. I mean, most people, not most of them. Most humans need sleep, okay? And it's a kind of sustenance. So of course, I know that you're not going to wake up. If you wake up earlier than your roommates, you're going to sit quietly in bed and try not to, what do you call it? Do the springs too much. Or if you have to go pee-pee, you're going to be super quiet. And, I don't know, sit down so they don't hear you. Okay. But that's nikise. People need that sustenance or they can't function. Okay? And so that's the second kind of food. The third one is called rewa. Say rewa.
Rewa
means hope. Okay? Hope is a kind of sustenance. if you have hope for the future, if you have plans for the future, if you have a meaningful project to work on, if you have a meaningful work to do, some kind of hope for the future, some kind of, what do you call it? It's like looking into, looking forward to something.
Aspirations,
or looking forward to your life, you know, like I want to do this by next week, or I'm doing something important, I'm helping caretake for the tree of tree. You have some kind of meaningful future thought thing. Okay? It's called Rewa. And in the scriptures they say, if there's a horse which is traveling to the desert by itself, and it starts to die of thirst, right? And then suddenly, it's going to die in 10 feet. So in 10 feet, it drops to its knees. And then it's just reached a little sand dune, and then it sees a big oasis, like 200 yards down the sand dune, you know? And by all rights, it should have died on the sand dune. It had no more physical sustenance to move the legs of the horse. But seeing the water will be, no horse ever died 100 yards from water. Never. No human ever stopped, you know, like 10 seconds from reaching the goal. Something makes, hope can sustain you physically to do the rest. Okay? So that's hope. Last one. It's called Tingin Zingi Se. Say Tingin Zing.
Tingin
Zingi Se. That's uninterrupted concentration. Okay? It's a sustenance for the mind and body. Uninterrupted focus on anything is a necessary sustenance for human beings. Okay? You cannot live without moments of uninterrupted focus. You know? That's why I was in a corporate environment for a long time. And I saw people break down and meltdown, you know. And we work sometimes, you know, 18 hours a day. And then you would push somebody, you would give them three more tasks, or they'd be in the middle of a task, and then you'd get a priority. You'd have to change priorities. That's one of the most destructive things in a corporate environment. Is you someone's cruising along okay on a very difficult job, and then you say, wait, stop that and do this. You know? And then they handle one interruption, and they handle two interruptions. Interrupt them 10 times in a day. Interrupt their focus 10 times a day. Change their priority 10 times a day. And you can break anybody. Okay? You can break any good employee that way. You know, just as soon as they get focused on one task, which is pretty much an impossible task, but they're going for it, and then you say, stop that and do this. You know? And then people break down. People just break. So people, human beings, the mind and the psyche and the body are sustained by uninterrupted time to focus. That's why reading a book is so enjoyable, or making out with your boyfriend, or watching a movie, or anything which is uninterrupted concentration. And then people will get irritable the more you break their concentration. You know, they're in the middle of something, you know, they're really focusing on a movie or something, and then you say, you know, can you wash the dishes? And then you can break a person like that. Right? So this fourth kind of sustenance is perhaps the most necessary for a human being. Okay? And that's one of my, I'm doing Shruti. I'm trying to sell you on starting the first level. Because somebody has to sell you or you won't do it. There has to be a reason to meditate. Okay? So I'm selling you on the first level of meditation. You need it to live. You know, you cannot be happy without meditating. It's not going to happen. You need times of uninterrupted focus. A human being lives off that. And if you it's like, what do you call it? It's like almond milk as opposed to a Coke. In my cup, you know, like, I might prefer a Coke or a coffee. Say a coffee. But the almond milk is going to make me, I drink almond milk knowing that in 2 hours it's going to make me really smart and focused. You know, I control myself. You know, I like coffee. I used to drink a lot of coffee. And then but I know that the coffee's not gonna give me what I need. But I know if I drink almond milk, which is less pleasant for me at that moment than coffee, I know that in an hour I'm going to be really, you know, my mind is going to be focused, my body's going to be strong, I'm going to feel healthy, you know. So meditation is like that. Meditation is like, the Tingen Zing is said, the decision to partake of Tingen Zing is said, is a really wise one. You're busy, you don't have time to meditate, you have other things to do, and you make a decision, and you draw a line, and you say, I'm going to meditate. It's like drinking almond milk, okay? It's like, I'd rather do email, and that's like coffee. Okay? I'd rather do something that's ADD, because that has a sort of shallow attraction, like coffee. But I know if I take the almond milk, then my mind will be healthy and strong and feel sustained. Okay? So that's a selling point for meditation. If you keep your mind on a single object for 15 minutes in the entire day, it can sustain you in a way that you cannot imagine. Just sitting with your teacher, watching their eyes, what does it do for you? The fact that your mind is not moving to another object sustains you big time. It sustains your body and your mind, and you become much healthier, stronger, happier, immensely happier. And it's weird. Somebody says to you, just keep your mind on anything for 15 minutes a day, and you'll be a much happier person. It's because it's sustenance. It's a kind of sustenance. And you can't live without it. We've been living without it. And that's why so many people are unhappy. It's as if they were woken up every night, every 2 hours, by somebody. And your whole life, the flow of your mind has been interrupted your whole life by the demands of your life. And what I'm suggesting is, check it out. Do 15 minutes of true sustenance every day. And then you feel much happier, much more human, much more alive. You have a real life, okay? That's tipa, okay? Shruti. By tipa, you gain what? By the sales pitch from your personal level, you get?
First level.
That's what pushes you into first level, got it? I want you to learn the levels. Why? Because I want you to be a teacher. Because I want you to teach. Okay? We went to Asia. We've taken about 40 teachers with us now. And the programs are designed that we have to have 40 teachers. We need 300 teachers for the program. We need 300 teachers. And you gotta learn. Like, you shouldn't come out of this 10 days unable to give somebody what you're getting right now. Okay? You should come out 9 levels, 6 powers, 4 states of mind. You must come out with that, okay? You must learn to teach it. Okay, we'll do one more brief. No, we'll stop. How many minutes did we meditate today? 4? 5? 10? Okay, it's alright. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. It's not the quantity. With meditation, it's not quantity, it's just quality. Okay. 15 minutes of quality meditation will sustain you 5 minutes. Alright. So remember, the first session we ever did, we did 5 minutes of meditation. Okay. So now we'll just